Black are gold pants, 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 black podcast.
Blackheart Gold Podcast, episode 64. Anything involving 64, Adam?
Commodore 64. That was a great old computer.
MGD 64.
The best beer there ever was.
That's right.
And Nintendo 64. N64.
Oh, GoldenEye. Nice.
Yes. I was terrible at that game.
I was legit, like...
People would, first of all, it wasn't fair, because, like, I didn't own a Nintendo 64, but I'd, like, be playing it in other people's dorm rooms, and, you know, the people whose rooms it was, and system it was, and game it was, they all knew how to play, and so, like, they would just look over at my screen and see where I was, and then go to where I was, because they knew the map, and then kill me. And meanwhile, I'm just, like, poking around, like, I wonder what's happening, and then I just get shot in the head and I die. Like, I'm not sure I ever actually killed anybody in that game.
You sound like you were even worse than me.
Yeah. So well, I didn't play very much either.
Breaking news, Adam Jacoby, bad at GoldenEye. Pevitt, Adam Jacoby, joining you live on a Wednesday evening. And we're not alone. We're joined by Chaz Rich, the author, editor, debutante of Pit Blather, the excellent Yard Barker Pit blog. Chaz, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you tonight?
Lovely. I've got a Scheinerbach, and I really can't complain.
I understand. I'm doing the Bullet Bourbon Rye tonight.
Nice. Very nice.
It's well played. Adam and I spent a little bit too much time at a local establishment last night, and I have to take it a little bit easy tonight, I think. So Iowa plays Pitt this week.
That's what I've heard.
Yes. A renewal of the 2008 series where the Wonstash-led Pitt Panthers beat Iowa at Pitt. This one, they finally come over to Iowa and see how the other half lives. Before we get any further, because I think Iowa fans and really just the public in general wants to know, Dave Wonstadt, what exactly happened there? The press conference where he had resigned or been fired was fascinating. And,
yes, it was. Absolutely.
And I don't know what exactly happened to lead to that, and I don't know what happened afterwards. Could you fill us in, Chaz?
Yes, that was not at all painful for us, no.
No.
He was basically told resign or be fired. He tried to do the whole I'm resigning thing to take a, you know, administrative job and couldn't even make it through the press conference with that. And right after, it was a culmination of things. I mean, a lot of people think it had to do with the Sports Illustrated story, about the, about all the, athletes out of control stuff and up
right
at the top of the list. And that the school knew about that story was coming and was really embarrassed by it. That's a popular theory. I think that played a role because he just kept, little stuff kept happening. And when, the minute he didn't punish Jabal Sheard for throwing a guy through a plate glass window, no matter what the later justifications and how reduced the charges were, you know, not even suspending him for a game, just pretty much did, you know, put a bad feeling on things. And this was, 2010 was supposed to be the year for Pitt. Everything that Wonstadt was supposed to be building was supposed to culminate last year. And Pitt had gone all out to try and push that, you know, sales for everything. And the Miami game was supposed to, you know, the Miami game more than even the Utah opening was the game where everything was supposed to happen. It was a Thursday night ESPN. They got every alum they could find that was, you know, that had any level of fame to show up for it. And Pitt failed to show up for it. And I really think that was the end because they knew that they were not going to, you know, that just the rest of the season was so bad for the fans. The fans were just down on the team the rest of the way, especially Wonstadt, and they couldn't afford to keep him. I mean, they just couldn't afford to. The ticket sales would have been, everything would have just been so toxic.
You guys had a hell of a schedule last year. Like, you know, there weren't any, like, SEC teams or anything on it like that. But, you know, if you look at the teams that Pitt lost to in 2010, there was Utah, 10-win team, even if they weren't, you know, the great Utah teams of old. Miami, that game really sucked for you guys.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, who's still an 8-win team, Connecticut, 8-win team, West Virginia, 9-win team. So, you know, no slackers, no pushovers there. And, you know, I'm seeing three D1 teams with losing records on the entire schedule, and one of them's Kentucky, who you played in the bowl game.
Right. Well, yeah, I know. The schedules, you could, stepping back, and I suppose if I was, you know, saying this, if this was any, you know, I was talking to you about Iowa and I was asking that, I would almost, you know, could make that argument. But it goes to, you know, it goes to the way they lost. I mean, the Utah game, you kind of could, I can almost excuse that first game, they, you know, on the road, all this stuff. But Miami and West Virginia, the team just didn't show up. I mean, those were both horrible blowouts when they should not have, when the alleged talent was supposed to be comparable, especially West Virginia. And the team just quit there. And the UConn game was just inexcusable. I mean, they had that game, and they certainly could not stop the run. A guy who, I don't know, had like a 40 quarterback rating threw two touchdown passes against them. It was a joke, and they couldn't, yeah, there's those three games more than it, you know. Utah was just a tough loss. I can excuse that, but the other three were, in different ways.
Now, your AD is Steve Peterson, right?
Right, yes, the former Nebraska AD.
Right, I was going to say, Peterson has a great track record for firing longtime coaches and replacing them.
Was Peterson the one that hired Bill Callahan?
Yeah, he fired Solich.
Yes.
And he was your AD before that, wasn't
he? He was the AD before. The AD, it was again, convoluted stuff. The AD before him was Jeff Long, who's now Arkansas's AD.
Okay.
And he left, and there was the vacancy, obviously. And right around the same, you know, while the vacancy was still open, Peterson was fired from Nebraska, and the school's chancellor president at Pitt remained very close with Peterson, always got along with them. And that's one of those key things when you look at, you know, look at school dynamics, why they hire, fire people, who they interview and who they look to. The chancellor is involved actively in the athletics, not meddling active, but active and, you know, pays attention to things.
Okay.
And he's big on, you know, knowing that he can get along, that people can get along, who can get along with who, and that there's a good solid relationship. So he had the solid relationship with Peterson still, so to him it felt like an easy call. I wasn't in favor. Peterson did a lot of good when he was at Pitt the first time around. I mean, he got Ben Howland here at first. He hired Walt Harris, who got the program turned, you know, helped rebuild the program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did a lot of good stuff. He needed to do stuff that he needed to do at Pitt because Pitt needed a lot of shaking up, needed to just come into the end of the 20th century or, you know, from where they were.
Right.
I don't, you know, there's a lot of animosity towards him now because, you know, if half the people hate him because he fired Wonstadt because Wonstadt was an alum and a good guy and, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the other half hate him because, you know, the way the firing went and then the whole Haywood hiring and.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'd rather not even talk about, but
that's okay. We can let that part go. That was a disaster. Yeah. I mean,
the only good thing out of that was my hit counts went through the roof after that happened. So.
I'll bet. Yeah, controversy breeds page views.
Yes, if you're not going to win big, at least have something go horribly wrong.
Right.
We know a little bit about that too.
Right. Yeah, there's something I heard about the off-season workout.
Yeah. So Todd Graham eventually lands the job early January. What are the early returns on the former Tulsa head coach bringing his kind of batshit insane offense up to Pitt?
There's, you know, right now everyone's a little frustrated, mainly at the quarterback, but I a lot of people are pretty excited about it because it's spread offense. It's, you know, a lot, there's a lot more excitement, and there's an energy to it at least. And even on the defense, which has looked horrible, at least they're blitzing. And, you know, in Pittsburgh, that was one of the things that drove a lot of Pitt fans crazy, because most of them are Steelers fans, and we've got a Blitzburg. And mm-hmm. once that did not believe in blitzing at all. It was all bringing pressure up front, and that was where it was going to be. You don't take chances on blitzes because mistakes can happen, and then you can have the big play happen. And so he's blitzing. He's doing a lot more. It's not all working real well at the moment, but it's mixed bag. I guess, like I said, I'm optimistic, but there's a good amount of frustration right now because everyone's waiting, you know, looks at these first two games, goes, we should have blown these people out. We would have blown them out, you know. Why are we struggling like this other than, you know, a new system and everything's changed and that and personnel trying to fit into different systems?
Yeah. Tino Sunseri is obviously struggling a little bit. And,
a little.
I think a lot of people sort of knew that was going to happen coming into the season. Do you think this is going to be sort of a repeat of 2008 when you know, Pitt and Iowa played. Iowa's quarterback at that time was Jake Christensen. Stunk up the place. Was never seen or heard from again after that. He got benched. Do you think that this is going to be Graham giving Sunseri one last shot to start, and then if Iowa wins, that there's going to be a change under center?
Well, I don't think if Iowa wins, there'll be a change under center. It's expected that the backup, Trey Anderson, is going to get cease time in this game. I mean, Graham mm-hmm. has said as much, and there would be no reason not to give him at least some time. I don't think they're going to pull him complete. I hesitate to say that this is the end for him if they lose this game or if he has a bad game, because I just don't know for sure how quick a trigger Ty Graham really has on changing the starting quarterback.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the thing. He's still relatively unknown, and this is, you know, there's only so much you can go off of what he did at Tulsa and his 1 year at Rice.
Now, the one kind of, I'm kind of stunned at this, quite frankly, and maybe it's just me because I don't know a ton about Graham's offense, but two games in, Pitt has the top rusher in the country.
Right.
Ray Graham. I guess the question is what?
even in his first press conference, he said it, you know, we do run the ball a lot, you know, and his splits, I think at Tulsa in the last 2 years were like, maybe we're 55-45, not totally outrageous, 55 passing, 45 running. And the splits would probably, you know, things would be better, but, you know, as you said, Sinceri's not doing well. He's not even, the goal in, you know, this offense is supposed to be 65-70% passing. He's under 60% right now. I think I was looking at the numbers, and you can act like Vandenberg and Sinceri are both completing passes at around the same rate. I mean, Sinceri's thrown more, but yeah, Vandenberg's at 59-2, Sinceri's 58-7.
Yikes. Maine got a lot of pressure on you guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of a problem, isn't it?
But they're the Black Bears, aren't they? So, you know, no, I can't do it.
They had literal Black Bears out there.
It felt that way. We've got a new center because there's one thing Juan said, you know, blame the previous regime, which is common, but he didn't recruit a true center until last year's recruiting class. So the only other center that they could start is a true freshman. And the guy that's starting at center converted to center during a training camp this fall, summer.
Hmm.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's so also
there are some holes there.
He's also the biggest center I've ever seen. 320 pounds. That's a monster.
He might very well be.
I don't think I've ever seen a center that's like the biggest guy on his line. Not only are you guys putting in a new offense, but you're going from the Dave Wonstadt 4-3. I mean, Wonstadt is known for anything other than his mustache. It's the 4-3 defense.
Yeah, his base 4-3, yes.
Right, and now you're running 3-4?
Yeah.
How's that going?
Honestly, the 4-3 had issues last year because the linebacking core wasn't that good. We had the best linebacker we had went down in horrific injury to Miami.
Right.
And he's still out, of course. And so that's why Pitt's offense is getting, defense, I should say, is getting shredded a lot on, by spread passing, short passes especially. Maine, that's what they did to Pitt all game long. They just did quick short slants, quick stuff over the middle, getting these corners before they had a chance. Corners, for whatever reason, weren't even trying to bump off the line. And so they were just getting quick short passes that, they could use because the linebackers weren't ready. And, and the safeties didn't move up. I really don't have a good explanation why the safeties didn't move up. The strongest, in the secondary, the best players on the team are probably the safeties in Jared Holley and Jason Hendricks. And the two of them combined for two tackles on the defense in that game.
Yikes. So.
Yeah. So am I depressing you enough or raising your optimism, I should say?
You sound like us talking about Iowa right now. Like there are so many problems we can't even begin to acknowledge them all.
And I'm trying to be nice because it's so easy now that I'm talking to you to just fall back on the blame the previous coach, mantra. I didn't realize how easy it was because I've avoided it all for like 9 months, and now all of a sudden I feel like I'm in therapy for it.
Let it out. It's not your fault.
So what do you expect this week? I mean, I haven't watched any Pitt yet, to be completely honest. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch any Iowa.
I watched the Iowa-Iowa State game. I had that one on.
So you must have been, like, cackling with glee whenever
I was on the defense. Because if there are two reasons. One, Iowa State's coached by Paul Rhodes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Pitt's old defensive coordinator who was not a fan favorite, that's the bars. And the other is most Pitt fans, because just the only thing we could think of, oh crap, they're going to take it out on us now.
You're right.
I hope.
No, I think Iowa fans are thinking kind of the same way that you are now, that it's a lot of, there are so many issues with this team, we don't even know where to begin, and we're just going to hold on for dear life and hope that something good happens. The other kind of oddball story, and I don't know what to make of it, Pitt's been in the middle of the expansion thing. All along with the Big Ten, but now was there a Big 12 offer made to Pitt? Do we have confirmation on this yet?
No one's actually. This is the one. I obviously I've been following this because, well, it's funny.
Right.
The whole thing is just funny. But there's an Andy Katz article that just came out this evening that claims that basically, the Big 12 office of Dan Beebe handed out a list of people to contact, at other schools about expansion, and they never got past, Notre Dame, essentially Notre Dame and BYU before Oklahoma basically popped off and said, yeah, I don't think we're going to be here much longer. And Pitt was on the list. According to this article, Pitt was on the list of people they should contact, but they never actually got around to contacting Pitt. Which, of course, makes sense because the only thing that we had about Pitt being, on the list was Chip Brown speaking for Texas.
Right.
So let's say, and we're purely in hypothetical La La Land here for many reasons, as will become clear. But let's just say the Big 12 had roped Notre Dame into Big 12 membership. I know.
You are in the Big 10, right? You do know okay, but go on.
if Pitt knows that Notre Dame's going to the Big 12, would Pitt bolt from the Big East and also join the Big 12? Is that
I think they
within
would.
The realm of you think it would?
If Notre Dame had joined, yeah, I think you could have seen Pitt do that then, because I mean, first of all, you want to talk about one of the few things that would cause a renegotiation of a contract for a TV deal. Getting Notre Dame in your conference would do it.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, and you'd have Tech, and it would mean Texas, Oklahoma, and Notre Dame in one conference. I mean, that just doesn't sound pretty.
And Pitt.
And, yes, yes. And Pitt, of course. Right there with Missouri. But I really do want to see Missouri in the Big East, because they belong in the Big East. Because like every other Big East team, they're waiting for that offer to go somewhere else.
Now, talk about hypotheticals here. What if Notre Dame gave the Big 12 the Big East package? That gave them the, we'll stay independent for football, but we'll go play everything else with you guys.
Well,
would Pitt
Texas
go along
would
then?
Be really pissed about that.
Oh yeah, Texas would be furious, which means it would never happen. But I'm trying to gauge what would exactly make Pitt leave. Is it an offer from anyone else, I guess, is the question I have.
Anyone else but the Big 12, I think, right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they would pack their bag, you know, ACC, sure. Big 10, we're there. Pac 12? Yeah, we can probably get some flights.
Mountain West.
I guess I was referring to the Big Four that we left there,
okay.
So.
Okay. So I'm not even going to ask about the Sun Belt then.
You know, there are a lot of retirees down there.
Now, I guess my bigger question is, if Pitt really is on the list, is this just a question of Dan Beebe trying to get back at Nebraska? Like, we're taking your AD back, haha.
I don't think Nebraska would really be upset about that one.
No, I don't think they would be at all. Knowing Nebraska fans and how they feel about old Steve Peterson, I don't think they would probably care that much. Well, we can't let you go without a full-on prediction. What do you think for this week, as far as on the field, forgetting
the field, yes.
Off the field?
All right. Yeah, I was dreading this moment because I haven't been able to wrap my head around this game. I mean, you guys have had a surprising trouble on defense, and you've been complaining about how the spread is a killer for you on that.
Yes.
So correct me if I'm wrong on this stuff before I, as I try and waste time to try and come up with something.
You are 1,000% correct on that.
Okay.
We're not good on defense, and we're especially not good against spread teams.
And your O-line has struggled a little bit yourself, right?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. Okay.
A little bit.
So I'm going to, I think I'm going to have to go the reverse there. You know, last time it was 21-20, we took it. I think you guys take it 21-20 this time. I think one thing we've got the only thing we've got in our favor is this time we've got the star from Mentor High School.
Who do you guys have for Mentor?
Our scattershot kicker. I don't know if it's something about being in Mentor, coming out of Mentor High School, but our kicker set the record in Ohio for the longest field goal. He's a stud kicker and finally got the job this year, and so far he's missed a lot.
Stanzy kicks.
So I've decided, that after, thinking about you, this game with you guys and the legend of Ricky Stanzy, I realized that it's Mentor High School.
Must be a Mentor thing.
Yes.
Well, we want to thank Chaz for being on the show and remind everybody that they can catch all the Pitt information that they need and really most of the stuff that they don't over at Pit Blather.
I specialize in the latter.
Yes. Pitblather.com. Go there. Thanks, Jess.
Thanks, guys.